I think my end goal is to just be a tattoo artist and a piercer. I went years with just being set on wanting to be a tattoo artist.
Hi friends, this is Jessica here with Kara from Avanti, and today we thought we would talk a little bit about bravery. But before we dive in, let's have Kara tell us a little bit about herself for you who do not know her.
Well, I mean, she already beat me to it the first time. I'm Kara, and I work at Avanti. But other than that, I'm a full-time mom to a two-year-old son. It's basically, I am working on putting myself into the modification industry while being a full-time mom and just trying to keep myself together as best I can while I keep my son together and work on my career. So that's me.
I think you do a very good job at it.
Thank you.
Yeah. I've worked with you for quite a few months now, and it's really cool to see how you balance family life with work life, because you are very, ambitious. That's the word. You're ambitious. You know, you have dreams and you have goals, and you also love and care about your son. And I think there's often a stigma that once you become a mom, that you just stop dreaming, but that's not true, you know? And I think you're a very good example of that, just because you don't believe the lies that society tells you about what it means to be a mom. You know, I think oftentimes things get so stigmatized, like, oh, you're, like for me being a modified person, oh, you're a modified person, so you know, you can only ever do this, this, or this, but that's not true, you know, and you're a mom, so you could do whatever you want and have a kid.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I definitely, at first, I was kind of like, I did sort of give up on my dreams a little bit when I first became a mom, because I, watching like all the parents that I know growing up, that's sort of what everyone did, because they were so focused on just making sure that they were doing everything and providing for their children, that they gave up on, you know, what they truly were passionate about. And then something I realized, like, I kind of just got a moment of clarity where I was like, you know, just because I am a mom and I'm caring for another human doesn't mean that I have to stop doing what I love, you know, because what if I do that, how better way to inspire him to do what he loves if he doesn't watch the person who's taking care of him do it, you know? So, but that's just my philosophy on that, so. And I've gotten good at it too.
Yeah, you really have. It's really cool to see. So I guess, why don't you talk a little bit more about your dreams? I know they're in the modification world, but maybe not everybody who's listened has, you know, maybe they haven't, this is their first time checking into our podcast or videos, and they're not really aware of what it is that you want to do.
Yeah, so I want to, I think my end goal is to just be a tattoo artist and a piercer. I went years with just being set on wanting to be a tattoo artist, but I think it would be really great to be able to balance both out, just because I could build more rapport with people and more clientele that way. And then also I'm doing two things that I enjoy at one time. So that just makes it even more fun too. So that's basically my goal with what I want to do as career path, is just tattoo artist and a piercer, focusing on piercing first though.
Yeah, what made you, so when I interviewed you first to actually come work at Avanti, it was really just tattooing. So what made you fall in love with piercing?
Yeah, I think honestly, just because I've always really enjoyed piercings, just because I've had a lot of piercings in my life. But I think honestly, just being, watching it like firsthand and being that up close and being able to have that opportunity to see everything else that goes into it versus just being on the other side of everything, going in, getting pierced and leaving, that really inspired me to want to learn more about it. So I think that's kind of why I sort of transitioned into piercing instead for right now. It's just because I became a lot more intrigued by everything that was going on. So yeah.
That's cool. I had thought about piercing before the pandemic happened, and then when it all shut down, I realized that I miss being a part of someone's transformation journey so much that I, like, yeah, like, it changed things for me. I was like, just this whole like shutdown, I was like, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to be a part of that transformation journey so much more than just like helping people pick out jewelry, which is fun and exciting. And we really, you know, we get into it. We know all about the stones and we know about gold quality and actually what's in the gold and how if you have a gold allergy, you might not actually have a gold allergy. You might be allergic to the nickel in 10 karat gold, and that 14 karat gold, when made with safe alloys, is actually probably better for you. Just all that, like, I like knowing all of that, and I like seeing someone come in and being like, you should get this. But having that taken away for a little bit, it's made me want to be like, okay, not only do I want to help them pick it out and do I want to help them like do that, I want to be the person who then is the conduit for the transformation and see them leave with like that finished masterpiece, like, oh, we worked on this together start to finish.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you too. Yeah, just being able to share that like intimate experience with someone, and I've just been craving it a lot since this whole pandemic has been happening. I honestly kind of took advantage of not doing it as much before in our shop when I was just like in the front and then helping them pick out the jewelry and stuff like that. Like, I would just get so caught up in just like keeping up with everything and just kind of like being set into what's going on around me. I didn't really get a moment to actually like embrace everything that was going on, you know, if that even makes sense. So then just like going to work one day and then all of a sudden, like overnight, not being able to go back to work at all, it was almost like I wish I could have had one more day to appreciate everything that was happening and to appreciate all the people that were coming in for those transformations.
Yeah, I agree. I miss our customers.
Yeah. I miss our customers.
I miss them so much. I like think about random regulars who come in and I'm like, I wonder how they're doing. I actually got to talk to one, Gigi, who came in January. I don't think you were in. I think it was just me and Anastasia, but I got to talk to her on one of these Zoom calls and it was so much fun. I just miss everybody. I was like, oh, I want to know what they're doing. I want to know who's coming. I know we're going to see a bunch of them when this pandemic is over, and I cannot wait to see what people are going to come in wanting, because I know that there's a lot of inspiration going on right now from piercers who had nothing to do but post pictures.
Right. Yeah.
I also saw that you've taken this time to learn a little bit about different piercing techniques and different stretching techniques. What have you learned?
Yeah, I mean, like, I know that there's a couple of stretching techniques that you can do with your ears. I actually just sized up again recently, so now I am at 18 millimeters. Yay! Ooh. So I'm at the point right now where I'm dead stretching my ears, and that's a technique that is very, very recommended when you go up to bigger sizes. Usually I would say when you get to be about a 2 gauge, and then everything up from there is like the perfect time to start either dead stretching or doing the tape method, which I can get a little bit more into also. But dead stretching essentially is just using like a heavier material like glass, and when you put in like the ones that you have in, okay, so you'd want to use like a single flare, and then you go ahead and just pop it in like normal, and then the weight of the glass or like that heavier material that you're using slowly weighs down your ear and stretches it out over time, so it's less like blunt force trauma trying to taper your ear at a bigger size, and then you don't run the risk of either like blowing your ear out or accidentally like tearing it, which is very, very common, especially in bigger sizes too, because it can be harder sometimes to stretch when you get bigger because you do have all of that like built up scar tissue. So that's another thing that's really good about dead stretching too, is that it just really helps prevent all of that, and it helps prevent all that scar tissue building up that's like needed for future stretching too. So that's my favorite, and it's the safest method, I would say, that's used for stretching. Other than that too, if you're kind of having a hard time with your ears kind of stretching themselves out, if you do have all that scar tissue, then you can tape, which is taking like a self-adhesing tape, like bondage tape or the that one. I'm probably butchering it though because letters, but like the plumbing tape. And then you can just do like a wrap or two every day or every other day, and then slowly stretch up your ears rather than like try to shove something that's like a lot bigger through your ear, like a taper.
That makes sense. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's actually something that maybe people who are hungry to do some sort of modification, but piercing isn't safe to do at home without the, well, really not at home at all, but it's especially not safe to do without the guidance of a professional doing the actual procedure. But stretching is something that, when done correctly and with the correct education, people can actually do at home. So if we have someone at home who's sitting there going, okay, you know, I want to stretch, what should I do? What advice would you give them?
My first advice would be just making sure that you can be as clean as possible with the whole procedure. I know that you can't be completely sterile because you are at home, but the cleaner the better, just so you aren't accidentally cross-contaminating with any bacteria, just because you are, it's not necessarily like an open wound, like a fresh piercing, but essentially it's kind of the same concept when you're doing a fresh stretch. So you want to make sure that whatever material plug that you're using is going to be clean. You can soak it. I usually, when I get mine, I immediately just like soak them in some like 70% alcohol, and I'll let them soak for a little bit, and then I'll rinse them really, really well with hot water. And then after that, I'll just kind of let them air dry. I won't rub them with any like paper towels or anything, just in case there is any of that bacteria that's built up on it. But that's just like an extra precaution that I take. It's okay to like dab it with a towel if you want to, but and then another thing too, just make sure that your hands are clean before you start anything. So go ahead and like wash your hands, clean your plugs, wash them again. And then once you're ready to actually start stretching, you want to make sure your ears are clean too, in case you do have any like built up, like if you're wearing like a material that, you know, is really prone to building up all that bacteria, like a wood material or silicone, or even, you know, glass too. It can potentially cause like irritation too if you're not making sure that your ears are clean. So you can go ahead and do that by just doing like antibacterial soap and then warm water, and just like rub them for a little bit and just like thoroughly clean them, and then go ahead and rinse them off. Then I would wash your hands again after that too. And then after that, you can go ahead and just like lubricate the plug and then your ears with some, like, I like to use jojoba oil, or you can use like a vitamin E or a coconut oil. And then you can go ahead, I actually wouldn't advise using coconut oil for fresher stretchings. That could be for healed ears, but jojoba oil is really, really good for new stretches. And then if you're doing a dead stretch method, it shouldn't hurt, honestly, at any point. Stretching shouldn't hurt. In the smaller sizes, probably you might have some tenderness because you'll be using a taper, but you'll want to make sure that you're just very slowly sliding the taper through when everything's like all oiled up and stuff. You don't want to try to force it through, because then that can cause ripping and tearing. But the best time I would say to stretch is going to be immediately after like a hot shower. Just because all the elasticity in your ears and stuff, the hot water and the moisture just really helps like open up all those skin cells, and then it makes your ears super, super stretchy. So then almost every single time I go up in a size, I slide them in after doing everything I just said. Like right after a hot shower, I'll prep everything first, make sure everything's clean. So then the second I get out, I can just put on oil and then pop them in, and then it's like I was already at that size. Like, it should never hurt.
Yeah. I started stretching before I knew the correct and incorrect way. So I actually joined the world of facilitator of modification late into my modification journey. And I did not know you're not supposed to sleep with tapers in, and those were not regular jewelry. Speak a little bit as to why, because I think that's a common misconception, is they do. I know there's a lot of jewelry that's designed to look like a taper, and so I just thought it was safe, but now I obviously know why it's not, but you know more.
No, definitely. It is a common misconception. I used to do it all the time when I was younger, because I started stretching my ears when I was like 13, 14 years old, and I didn't know anything. So everything you aren't supposed to do, I most likely did do my ears. Like, I can go off the whole list, so. But I mean, that's just because, like, you know, all the knowledge that I have now is from my own personal experience and just teaching myself and like educating myself too. But a reason why you don't want to wear tapers as just like a form of jewelry is, or sleeping in them, is because it's longer, right? You know, it's not meant to sit flush against your ears. So because of that, when you're wearing that taper, the back part of it is actually going to weigh down your ears. And then that can cause uneven stretching in your ears too. And, you know, no one ever wants that. You want to have nice, even lobes. Make sure that you can get up to bigger sizes eventually with time. And tapering can, or at least like wearing tapers consistently, like jewelry or sleeping in them, can potentially make it to where your lobes aren't even and the skin around the back is kind of a little bit thinned out versus in the front of the lobe. It also can, if you're sleeping on them and all that pressure that you're putting on your ears, can also cause irritation and like can potentially give you headaches. It used to give me headaches all the time. And then also it can just irritate your ears, which can, you know, potentially cause a blowout if they're getting irritated enough. Especially if they're fresh and you left them in and you're sleeping in them, you haven't taken them out to clean them or anything like that, then yeah, that can definitely cause irritation on the ears too.
Yeah, yeah, that's what, I have slept in tapers before and they ripped my ear.
Yeah, I got really close to ripping my ear too as tapers. It's not fun.
I was blown away when I learned that you can taper through. I don't know why it was such a concept to me that you can taper through, and then when you put in the plug that fits that size, it makes it easier.
Yeah, when you are tapering at smaller sizes, you do want to make sure that you're using a single flare plug, and then whatever plug, like whatever size you're going to, you want to make sure that that fits with that taper, so you're not forcing something that's slightly bigger, since you're already putting so much trauma into tapering your ears anyways. So make sure that it fits and it's the right size. So then once you put the taper through, you can hold the top of the plug and slowly push it through to just pop in that plug in one motion. And then that's it. Then you have the plug in and you're not wearing the taper. That was my mistake too. I would just put the tapers in and leave them in until they didn't hurt, which was like a couple days. And then I would put my plugs in and then, oh no, my ears blew out. I wonder why.
Yeah, well, there's not really any information that's easy accessible for people who don't know how to find it. I remember before I started stretching, I think I had only had my ears pierced. Like, I didn't really know anything, but I knew I wanted to try stretching my ears. And I was like, okay, so I have to Google it first, because I don't know what on earth you're supposed to do with a taper. And then I got the tapers and I still didn't know, because it looks, you know, you look at them and it's like three different sizes on it. So I thought that I'm hoping I'm not the only one and this is helpful for somebody, but I thought that you just gradually inserted it in and that those O-rings on either side were to keep it in place at that size.
I mean, in theory, you could do that. It would be less damaging than just shoving the whole thing through, but it's not advised because it can get snagged and pulled, and it'll take you weeks to try to slide in one taper, because I did the same thing too, especially when I went to double zeros, which was a huge mistake. I should have never tapered my ears at a double zero, because that's a 2 millimeter jump, and you usually want to stretch between a millimeter or less when you are stretching. And so doing it like 2 millimeters and trying to shove that whole thing through, like, I can still remember the pain. Like, 6 years later, it was excruciating. I was up all night going back and forth between each ear with like cold rags, and I was getting up every hour to like rinse them off and make them cold again. And it was like the worst experience I've ever had in my entire life. And if I would have dead stretched my ears to a double zero, then I probably would have had a less traumatizing experience, honestly. But yeah, there are some jewelry that is kind of like, it goes smaller and goes bigger, and they're like the little spiral guys. Those are okay to use for jewelry. I wouldn't recommend using them, like wearing them for long periods of time, just because they can potentially have the same effect as a taper. But if you want to wear them for like decorative purposes, that's totally okay. You just want to make sure that you're not wearing them for too long or sleeping in them.
Yeah, that's really good to know. I think that'll be some really good information for anyone who is having a hard time finding answers on the internet, because the internet has a lot of information, but not all of it is clear.
Yeah, I agree with you. I've put in like hours, days, weeks, and months and years into my research, and I still can't cover everything that there is to know about ear stretching. There's just a lot, and it, you know, people figure out stuff every day, and it is constantly changing too. So, and especially like years ago too, there wasn't as much information as there is now. So I guess it's kind of another reason why I know a decent amount of ear stretching is just through my own experiences and kind of doing trial and error for years, which now that there is a little bit more information, people don't have to do that. And they don't have to put their ears through all of that, just figure out what worked and what didn't and why something didn't work and why their ears are hurting and why they're irritated and why they blew out and just things like that too. So, but yeah, you definitely do have to dig. You have to be very specific with the kind of research that you're putting into. Want to like make sure that you're using a lot of keywords and phrases for what exactly you're looking for, or else you're probably going to have a hard time trying to find like a solid answer, because it's just everything sort of spread all over the place on the internet, and a lot of people contradict other people too. And so it's just, it can get very, very confusing, especially if you don't know too much about it and you're kind of just looking into it. You don't really know where to start. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. I think also, you know, your stretching jewelry depends on your own personal anatomy. I think that was one thing that I remember feeling impatient about, is because I wanted, you know, large lobes and not even at my dream size now. But everywhere I looked was like, oh, it's going to take you 2 years or 3 years to get there. And I remember feeling like, oh my gosh, that's so far from now. And then I would talk mm-hmm. to friends who've been stretching for years and they're not even at a zero yet. And really, mm-hmm. I think the one piece of advice that I would give someone, and I think you'll concur, is that first off, the time goes a lot faster than you think it's going to. Yeah, yes. I look back and I've been stretching for 3 years now, and it does not feel like I've been stretching for 3 years. It feels like maybe I've been stretching for like 6 months, just because there's so much that goes into it. You do feel like you're actively at your dream size all the time. And then also your ears elasticity is unique to your anatomy, which means mm-hmm. that as long as you're following those safe methods and you're stopping when it hurts, you might find that you stretch faster than your friend, or you might find that it takes longer for you than your friend.
Yeah, that's very, very true. Something I always like to tell people too is just to try to not give yourself a goal size if you can, because that will make you a lot less likely to get impatient and then try to push your ears to stretch more, and then potentially like causing any like tearing or ripping. Because usually you want to wait somewhere between like 3 to 6 weeks before or during each stretch, just because that can give your ears enough time to be able to heal and recover from stretching out. And then you're keeping all that elasticity, not causing any scar tissue to build up, versus if you stretched one day and then you're like, well, I'm at a 12 gauge now and I know that my goal is to be a double zero. And then you kind of, you're just like, you know what, it's fine, I can fit two more stretches in this week, that's my goal, so stretch two more times. And then you end up hurting yourself potentially and then going right back to square one. That's always the saddest thing to see. My friend, she had lobes that were larger than mine, but then she pushed them and then just recently had to take them out because they both blew out. And now she's back down to like probably a 10 gauge, and she's been working on it for years now, and it just took that one time. So it was really, really sad to see, but you know, she learned from it. So now she's taking more safer precautions, but just making sure that you're being as patient with yourself and with your body as you can, and just listening to it. That's like the best piece of advice I'll give anyone who's looking to stretch their ears, regardless of how large you are at all already. It's just making sure that you're listening to yourself. And if you're trying to put in, like you're trying to stretch up to a size, and like for example, if you're dead stretching, if you find that it's not going in or you have to try to force it, just stop, put the size that you were in back in, give it another week, and then try again, because a week can go by so quick, especially if you're trying to just do other things to preoccupy yourself, so you're not constantly thinking about it. That really does make the bigger difference of healthy large lobes, which is everyone's goal to have healthy lobes, versus lobes that are very, very thinned out and very, very fragile from overstretching drastically and too fast too. And then, you know, you might be at your goal size, but your lobes aren't as healthy as they could have been if you would have just waited a little bit longer, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I can speak from personal experience too, that what you put in your ear matters. I got those really cute glow-in-the-dark spider earrings for Christmas, and I had allergic reaction to them, and I feel better, and I knew that, you know, quality does matter, but it's sometimes you can know it, but you won't think it'll happen to you. And, you know, because I was like, well, I'll be safe, and, you know, I'll make sure that I've read all the reviews, and I'll make sure that they're clean, and all of that. And I still had an allergic reaction, because if you don't purchase your products from a credible source, then you're not going to necessarily know what's going into your body. And even if your piercings have been stretched for years and you've had your ears pierced for 2 decades, they can still get infected, and they can still get irritated, and they can still blow up like balloons.
Yeah, and you know, the same thing happened to me too. And then you could even have an allergy to a material that you didn't even know, and then you go ahead and you try to wear it, and then you're wondering, like, you know, like, oh no, like, what is going on? It's because you probably used material that your body didn't like, and then it had a reaction to it, which is something, another thing that happened to my friend too. And I can use her as an example because I've asked her, and so she gave me every detail. She's like, yeah, it's totally fine. If someone can learn from this, please tell them, because, you know, like, I'm morally messed up and I'm sad about it. So this is exactly what happens when you're not patient with yourself. She actually took a silicone plug like what I'm wearing right now, and she just wadded it up and tried to pop it in, which I used to do when I was younger, and I'm very, very thankful that my ears didn't get as bad as I could have been, because that's probably, like, the most damaging things you can do if you're trying to push yourself to stretch. Also, with, like, tapering at larger sizes too, is because all of that is just, it's instant damage to your earlobes. And usually I would only wear these if I'm sleeping. Silicone is really good to wear on healed ears. Depending on how your body wants to react to it, they can be okay, they can be totally fine. I've never had any weird reactions with silicone. Versus with acrylics, I can't really wear, just because for some reason my ears don't like them. But then the person next to me can totally wear acrylic all the time and be completely fine. Just, you want to make sure that your ears are healed before you're wearing materials like that, just to make sure, because acrylic is, like, people don't really know exactly what it is. It's a whole bunch of different mystery materials, and so you don't really know what you're working with when you order something, especially from somewhere that you don't know a lot about the shop, and then you just purchase them, which I have done in the past. Definitely, I've bought random plugs online from random places that I didn't know, because I was like, oh, they're cute, and then I luckily didn't have reactions to them, but at the time, but then doing it for years, I eventually developed a reaction to acrylic, which can definitely happen too. So you just want to make sure that you're staying safe. The best materials that you can wear while your ears are still healing is probably glass, honestly. Wood is really, really good to wear when your ears are healed, but wood plugs are just kind of, it's a whole other, like, the whole other ballpark with wood plugs, because they're very tedious to take care of too, which is something that I also, like, I had no idea. Like, even stretching my ears for years and years and years, I finally researched, like, I got curious, like, how do you even clean wood plugs? Because, you know, if you're wearing wood plugs, they can potentially, if you're wearing them in the shower, they can expand, and then they can crack, because wood expands and cracks with water, and then they can get damaged, and that can hurt your ears. And so when you're using wood plugs, you just want to make sure that you're taking, like, an organic essential oil and just wiping them down really good with, like, a clean paper towel. And then after that, you want to make sure that you're wiping down any, like, excess, like, oil residue, so it doesn't seep into the wood and expand it. Versus the glass, it's not that tedious, and it's also a really good material to stretch with too, because it is a non-porous material, so it's not going to have any of those, like, if you look at, like, a porous material, like, in a microscope, you see it has all those tiny itty-bitty holes for breathing. It's not a breathing material, so you don't have to worry about it either self-adhesing to your open wounds if you do potentially, like, tear your ears a little bit, which is totally, like, expected too if you're stretching your ears. it can happen. You can do little, like get little itty bitty micro tears, and that's okay as long as you're just being very careful with how you're treating your ears and keeping up with having them be clean while they're healing. It's not going to be the end of the world if you have one little itty bitty tear. You just want to make sure that you're caring for it and making sure that it stays clean and you're not messing with it too much too. Because even with like stretching for as long as I have, I still tear my ears sometimes. It just happens. And if that does happen and it does get irritated, or you think that your ear might potentially be blowing out, all you have to do is just take that size out that you are right now and then go back down to either a size or two and then put that in, make sure it's clean and everything, and then just wear that plug and let your ear, because then you're taking all of that built-up pressure that's on your ears and you're relieving it by not keeping in that larger size and just trying to clean around it and keep it out. Your ear needs to breathe and it needs to heal, so you want to make sure that you're giving it all that necessary room to be able to, even if it does shrink back down, you know, it might be sad. Think about the fact that you just stretched up and then your ear got angry and now you got to go back down. But it's better and safer to go ahead and do that versus just keeping it in and potentially making it worse. So, and then that's something I had to learn from experience too, growing up and stretching my ears for as long as I have, is that I honestly, now that I'm thinking about it, like I used to be on the line of having blowouts all the time and I didn't even know it. And I just left them in my ears. And thankfully my ears were just very, very nice to me and they just didn't like get as damaged as they could have, because I was not nice to my ears at all when I was like first started stretching. But yeah, it definitely can happen, because it happened to a lot of people that I knew, and they're just like, you know, like I was at the same size as you were, Kara, and now my ears are all the way down to like the very, very beginning. Like I'm at a 12 gauge now. And for a lot of people who don't know what a 12 gauge is, it's just like a couple sizes up than like your average standard ear piercing size. So, and that's just really sad to think about, knowing like I'm at 18 millimeters and they went all the way down that small. It just really, like I said before, it's just a difference of taking care of your ears and your jewelry that you're wearing in them versus not, and just being patient with yourself and pushing your body more than it needs to. And just, I'm rambling a little bit, but I think you get the gist of what I'm trying to say.
I think what's really cool about body modification, whether you're a hairstylist, a tattoo artist, a beautician, anything, is that it teaches you a lot about your person. And I think that if you have someone you love who's modified, or you're considering about becoming more modified and, you know, taking that step and dyeing your hair, or, you know, doing a crazy makeup color, is that it really just, it teaches you to listen to yourself, and it teaches you to listen to your body, and it also makes you brave.
Mm-hmm.
Just to kind of step out of your comfort zone. You know, and I think that maybe you have a little bit more of a unique perspective, both being modified and being a mom, because I think those are two very different stigmas that you've put together. And you, I would really be interested to hearing what it's like to be a part of the modified community, and what it's also like to be a mom, and not only a mom, but a single mom.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, no, I would love to touch on that a little bit. So for starters already, because I am a young mom, and so then you get a lot of those stigmas around young moms too, like I wasn't being safe, I wasn't being responsible, I was being stupid, and then I got myself pregnant, and then, you know, like I love my son and he's a blessing to me, and just being young and still trying to grow and work on yourself while caring for a completely other human and watching them grow, I think is kind of one of the most empowering things you could probably experience as a mother too. Even if you're not a young mom and you're still trying to figure yourself out, you know, like you're working on yourself while working on another person, and that shows dedication and it shows strength, and it's just really amazing to see all the things that moms can do. And then just like also on top of being a mother and being a single mother too, you know, a lot of people look down on single moms. Like, you know, there's a lot of things that people say about single moms, but at the end of the day, it's just down to the fact that I'm single because I'm doing what I need to do to make sure that my son and I are safe and my son is taken care of in the best ways he can. Sometimes that doesn't always mean being with the other parent, especially if you're in a toxic relationship or you're just in a relationship that just, you know, you're two different people and ended up not working out. That's okay. Like, you don't need to force yourself to be in a relationship with someone just because you had a kid with them. Sometimes it's better just trying to break that off when you can. So you're not teaching your child, whether it's intentionally or unintentionally, this is one of my things why I'm single, is that I would rather my son grow up and know that he is healthy and that he's safe and he's cared for and that he is loved and it's okay to be by yourself, rather than watching him watch me be with someone, like his parents constantly fight and then be unhappy and think that that's normal, because it's not normal, you know. I had to kind of watch that growing up myself, and then just becoming a mother. No kid ever wants to go through that. You don't ever want to like wonder like why your parents are sad, why they aren't getting along. So sometimes it's just, you gotta do what you gotta do, and then if that means being a single parent, you're just making the best choices you can for your kid, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. But, you know, just like having, like, with all of that being said, just being a mother in general and then being modified. Before I was even a mom and I was modified, I was already getting all those looks and all those, like, you know, I'm sure everyone who has some kind of modification can agree with us when they say that someone somewhere told us that we weren't going to be able to do something specific, or if they were religious, that we were going to go to hell, or like somebody wasn't going to love us, or we were going to get made fun of and looked at differently. And just, I've heard all of it. I've heard all of it. And what really matters is that you're doing it for yourself, not for somebody else. And then if you're happy with the way you look and you're happy with your modifications, that should be enough regardless of if someone else doesn't specifically agree to it. I have lots of friends who would never even think twice about getting modified, but then they see me, they see all my modifications, and they don't judge me for it. But then just kind of being a mother too, tying all that in, and then being a young modified single mother, it's kind of like it goes back and forth. Like, I get a lot of looks like, well, like, I really like your tattoos and I like your piercings and like, where did you get your work done at, and all those things. And then also I get those people who are like, they kind of, it's almost like they look at me like I'm not capable of taking care of my kid, if that makes sense. Like, because I'm doing something irresponsible to myself. And I've got the saying, what was the saying? Somebody told me, oh, they said, if you had a rose, why would you paint it black? And I was like, well, maybe because I like the color black. I like black roses. And he fought me on that. He got angry at my answer. But I'm like, that's just how it is at the end of the day. Like, just because someone is specific in the kind of aesthetics that they like on themselves or even on other people, that shouldn't change the fact that you like what you like on yourself and it makes you happy. And it's not even just, sometimes a lot of people, modifications is not for aesthetic. It's literally their lifestyle, you know? It's what they're passionate about. And that's kind of one of my things too. It's what I'm passionate about. I don't do it just for like the aesthetic. Like, yeah, I feel beautiful now that I am modified the way that I am and that I have been. But it just really, really builds my self-confidence. And I know that I'm passionate about it too. And then that's something else that I can teach my kid, you know, that you don't have to look a specific way and tailor yourself to a specific look to be accepted. Especially with like today's society too. I know that a lot of people around my age, and I'm 22, like around both of our ages and then growing up, you know, myself and a lot of people I know, they struggled with their looks because they wanted to be accepted. And me starting modifying myself so young, it did the complete opposite of what I was wanting. And then I realized, like, you know what, people are gonna like me for who I am, the kind of personality that I have, not for what I look like. And then you know, it ties into like getting a job too. Like my mom always used to tell me, like, oh my God, like you're never gonna get a job with that dang thing in your lip, like take it out, like what are you doing? And then look at me, mom, it's 6 years later and I'm building a career out of that thing in my lip. Like, what are you talking about?
What I always love about modification, I wanted like speak to the same thing you're talking about is, I was told the same things. Like I was told, oh, you know, you can't do that if your hair is colored, or I have a sleeve and I got a sleeve at, I don't even know if I was 20 yet. Maybe I was 20. Maybe I just turned 20 and, or 20, I wasn't even 21. And I was like, full sleeve, yes, let's do it. And I had just graduated with my bachelor's and I remember being like, okay, I'm not only just going into the job field, I'm going into the job field, you know, and I have this degree and I have a full sleeve. And I remember applying for entry level jobs and then being like, I like covered all my tattoos and then being like, you're gonna have to take your nose piercing out. And I just remember thinking, if you're gonna want me to take my nose piercing out, then I don't want this job. Because it's speaking more about my appearance, which I actually think is any position that looks at your tattoos or looks at your piercings and uses that as an excuse is being prejudiced towards you based off of your appearance. Because as long as you're clean and you are practicing healthy hygiene, there's no reason that that's going to interfere with your job. But what it made me do is I wanted to have that aesthetic. So it made me know that my personality is going to have to shine through and my work ethic is going to have to shine through. And it makes you work harder. I actually could talk to a lot of modified people are some of the most hardworking, kind-hearted people I know. And I know that's not true for everybody. And there's non-modified people too that are just absolutely amazing. And you can be whoever you want to be, but I have noticed that oftentimes you have to compensate with your inner person to make way for the way people receive your outer person. Mm-hmm. Would you speak that that's true for you too, or?
Yeah, I would definitely think that that's true for me. I know that there was times where I'd go into job interviews. I've actually turned down a couple jobs. My mom wasn't happy with me, but I was one of those people too, where it's like, if I have to take out, because my nose piercing was, aside from my like ears just being pierced, my nose piercing was like my first actual like body piercing that I got, and I did it myself, which is never advised. And I was in seventh grade, so I was really young. It wasn't really that socially acceptable to have piercing, let alone be that young and have a piercing. So my mom was really worried about how that would make her look, and then also just getting judged because I did that. And that was irresponsible on her end because she couldn't control me. And then it was irresponsible of me because I was damaging my looks and just all of that. And then growing up and telling my mom, like, I'm not going to take it out for you. Like, I like it. And then she eventually accepted that. Then that I went into that transition of needing to find my first job and like becoming that age where I need to start working and stuff. I've turned down at least 5 jobs I can think of off the top of my head because it told me like, okay, well, you're gonna need to take your nose ring out, or you're gonna need to take your lip ring out, is that something you can do? And I honestly told them, and it'd be after like the interview was great, and then at the end they'd be like, okay, so by the way, and then that would be that. And I would tell them, like, you know, honestly, no, like I actually had to lie to one of my jobs before, which is also never advised, that my piercings, I told them that my piercings were religious because that was the only way that they were going to let me keep them in, which is honestly really sad. Like, one, because no one should ever have to lie about their religion. And for two, no one should have to lie about feeling comfortable in themselves just because they need to have a job. And it was really depressing, honestly. And then I ended up moving along from that job because it got to the point where, like, I was coming in every day and they were just fighting me on it and trying to convince me. And then even after me, you know, telling them it was like part of my religion, which essentially I wasn't lying because it's part of my like spirituality. But I was just like, all you're focusing on is the fact that I have my ears stretched and I have, and that time I only had like a couple piercings. And you can't even like actually focus on like the work that I'm doing and me being like an employee, but you're so focused on how I look. And that's, it's very discriminating, you know?
Yeah, that was the paper earlier. It is
discriminating. Yeah.
I went to George Fox University, which is, it does have a reputation for being very, very conservative. And I remember being in orientation and listening to them talk, and they brought out a book called Tattoos on the Heart. And it was like, for a conservative school, it really kind of like flipped it on its head for me. And the gal was talking, she had gotten a tattoo, and she was talking about her experience with this. It's just a, I think it was just a butterfly on her wrist. And she was talking about what it meant for her to get it. And she's like, I never knew what I wanted. And then I was like, well, what will people think? And she's like, and it's going to be in a visible place. And where would you, if I put it there, like maybe I don't know where I want to put it. And she was talking to her hair, no, she was waiting for her hairstylist. So her hairstylist was working on this conservative older woman. And the older woman said, you were so beautiful. I don't know why you got all those tattoos.
Yep.
And so the gal's sitting there and she's like, oh no, I wonder what this gal is going to say. Like, I can't believe, like, oh my gosh, like, she just said that. Like, what is this gal going to say who, you know, is just covered, multicolored hair, piercings, covered in tattoos, gorgeous. And she looks at the woman and she says, these tattoos were on my heart before they ever came out in my skin. Like, okay, yeah. Like, you know, like, how are you going to argue with that?
Right,
yeah. It's true. Like, you know, some, like my pieces, a lot of them are so sacred to me that I couldn't ever tell anyone what they mean because they are so ingrained with my body that they might as well be my bones. You know, They're as much a part of me as my blood is. They're like part of me, you know? And I think that it's really cool to see the world changing to be more accepting of body art. Because they're not seeing it. I think a lot of it comes from the stigma, and maybe comes from like the punk era where it was like just seen as like this big like rebellion, like, oh, anti-politics, or oh, anti, I don't want to conform and I'm just getting a tattoo to be unique. That was actually the biggest argument my dad had, was I got a tattoo to be unique so I could be like everybody else.
Oh, geez.
And I, yeah. Like, right? Like, it's so funny because it's so not true. But also kind of is at the same time, at least for myself. Like, I didn't want to be like everybody else. Mm-hmm. I wanted to wear my heart and my feelings on my actual sleeves, you know?
Right, yeah.
But it is so much more than that. And it very much does become a part of who you are. I don't know. It's just a very interesting concept.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And I've had moments like that too. Like just like that girl that you're explaining, I mean, a lot of strangers would just come up to me and they would say that to me. A lot of people who are like a little bit older, who kind of were already getting old when they got into that like punk era. So then they were already used to like kind of how their generation was, and then seeing all of that, and they just not agreeing with it, and then having that stick with them over time. That's totally okay if you don't agree with it. But I've had so many people come up to me and they're just like, basically the same exact thing, but they would like be very, very like derogatory about it. They would just like you're so beautiful. Like, why would you ever do that to yourself? Like, you're so much more pretty without those piercings. And that was actually a direct quote from my grandpa. I remember it perfectly. I think I was about 16 years old, and then I was at his house and I went to go visit him with my mom. And then it was literally like the first thing he said to me when I walked into the door, as I was like reaching down to hug him. And then he wasn't even trying to be mean to me. It was just what he was used to. He told me, he was like, you know, like, you're so much beautiful without those dang piercings in your face. Like, you should just take them out. And I told him, I was like, Grandpa, like, I like them. I like how they make me feel. I like how they make me look. I'm proud of them. I also did them to myself, so it makes me even more proud, which I'm always going to say, never advised. But, It hurt, honestly, it hurt me coming from my own family, knowing that they didn't agree with something that I was doing or a certain way that I was looking. And then that escalated very, very quick because I was defending myself, and to my mother, that was wrong because I was talking back to my grandfather. And then I remember going to the bathroom and I just cried about it. And then I wanted to go home after that because I was embarrassed that that would even happen by my own flesh and blood. let alone not even be able to be backed up by my own mother because she was worried about how someone else was feeling towards myself and towards her, that she couldn't even sit for a second to recognize, like, this is who my daughter is. This is what my daughter stands for. Regardless of if you're my father, you shouldn't talk to her that way. You should accept her for who she is and love her no matter what. And eventually he did accept it. I'm sure still to this day, if I were to ask him, he would probably have the same opinion, but he now knows that it's not appropriate to say those things to me because he knows that I'm very passionate about it and I love it and it's what I'm doing with myself as a career. And, you know, he loves me anyway, so, and I love him, it's just what he's used to. So there's just like that very big, you know, it's like a barrier between generations with modifications. You know, it used to mean something years ago and generations ago, and then it transitioned into like a bunch of different kinds of meanings. And now a lot of people get piercings and tattoos, not for like sacred or religious purposes, but maybe because they just like it. And that's totally fine, versus someone who gets them only for sacred and religious purposes. I can also relate to you about my tattoos too. Like, I only have one tattoo on myself that doesn't have a meaning, but I got it because I liked it. And I still, 3 years later, I'm so happy I have it. But a lot of my tattoos tell a story. Even it, like my son's name, for a prime example, is something that like every single part of this tattoo, I can go in depth about the colors. I drew that myself. I'm a graffiti artist. And, you know, so that was something that I actually sketched up. And then I had my tattoo artist do for me. And then I told him the specific colors I wanted because my son is a Leo. And then so when I think of Leos, I think of lions. When I think of lions, I think of, like, you know, like the sunset at the beginning of Lion King. It's all, you know, like burnt orange and reds and yellows and black. That's exactly what I was looking for because that was the vibe I was getting when I would think of my son. And so then I put that on, that's the color pattern that I chose for that. And then it was also something that I drew myself.
Love it.
Because it's something that I'm passionate about. So yeah, it's great. But I love when people ask me about my ink because then it gives me the opportunity to explain the little itty bitty details like that, versus with someone who didn't know who I was, didn't know I had a son, they just saw that I had a random name on the back of my hand that was red and yellow. They would never understand how in depth that tattoo went into, but that's just the beauty and the mystery behind body modifications that you never know.
It's really true. I think a lot of the stigma with modification comes with the fear of the unknown. Something I've been thinking about a lot lately is we face the unknown here with the COVID crisis, you know, is a lot of uncertainty can lead to gut reactions that don't stem out of a place of, it's almost like they don't really, on the flip of every effect of hate is love. And I think that a lot of the hateful remarks that come from a fear for the other person, which you can't be afraid for the other person if you don't love the other person, you know, on some level. You know, strangers on the street are probably not like, I love you, random person. But, you know, for like mankind is what I'm thinking about. And, you know, every time like my dad has said something, or not now that I'm modified, but, you know, before, or like, you know, my grandparents or something like that, when they've said that, like, you know, like your grandpa, like, you were so pretty, why did you do that? It comes out of a fear that you've changed and they don't know who you are now. I think that's actually probably very true, is, you know, I grew up in the woods, 30 minutes away from the nearest town and an hour away from the nearest town worth going to. And I moved to the city and I dyed my hair and I got a sleeve and I started getting piercings and I hung out with people who have colored hair, and my fiance is in a metal band. And I remember my mom just being like, are you still who I, you know, raised you to be? And I am, you know, I'm 100% who she raised me to be. I am all about, you know, here at Avanti, we're all about this. We're all about encouraging, empowering, and educating people. And that's exactly who she raised me to be. And so I think that sometimes people see the stigma and they don't realize that the stigma is the opposite of what it is. Like, you are colorful and you are wild because you're brave and because you're confident and because you're empowering yourself so you can empower others. And I think that probably the best reaction to, at least for myself, and it's hard sometimes, like, I've gotten all the hateful remarks, just like anyone, you know, who's modified has. And if you haven't, then, like, go for you. That means things are changing. But I think the best reaction would be kindness. I know that for every time someone's grabbed my arm and asked me, you know, how much I think laser removal is going to cost, you know, there's what I want to say. And then there's what I can actually say. And that's, you know, I just tell them the truth, you know, just like I would tell anybody that, you know, this is my body. And I thought long and hard about what I wanted to put on it. And I didn't come to that decision lightly. And I do have spontaneous tattoos, but that's between me and my maker, you know? And as long as you can be honest and true and not let anyone, I guess you have like two choices in a circumstance. You can let yourself be in control of your actions, or you can let your emotions be in control of your actions. And I've never lost by letting myself be in control.
Yeah, you know, and I can definitely relate to that too. A lot of times, I mean, for me, just because I'm so used to it, I've gotten to the point where I don't get upset or I don't get hurt or I don't get offended when someone makes like a negative comment about the way I look. Or any of my tattoos or my piercings. But, you know, like, and it's definitely something that you kind of have to train yourself to do with time. Not all the time. Sometimes it can just naturally come to people. But for me, I was one of those people where I really did have to train myself to not get so quick to get angry at them. Because they might honestly not even be coming from a hateful place, but just genuine, like, curiosity. Just, like, why? Why would you, like, I, you know? And that was kind of where my grandpa was coming from. Like, granted, yeah, he didn't really appreciate the way it looked, because that's not how women used to look in his time when he was growing up. And also, you know, watching his granddaughter get older and making decisions for herself and stuff, that was probably hard pill to swallow. But for me, it got to the point where if people were stopping me on the street and they were being negative about any of my modifications, and they were asking me, why would I do that? You know, just stay really calm and just, like, kill them with kindness. Like, let them know, like, be calm, be informative without coming off as, you know, I'm spacing the word right now, but just, like, acting like you're above them when, you know, we're all only human. So if someone's stopping me on the street and they're like, oh my God, how could you ever get any of those tattoos? Like, you know, because they mean something to me. They all tell a story about a certain part in my life, and whether or not you like the tattoos or you ever plan on getting tattoos yourself, this is who I am as a person, and this is my body, and this is what I decide to do with it. And then, like you said, I didn't, like, spring on any of these decisions lightly. Granted, yes, I do have a couple. I've had more than countless times where I was spontaneous with the things that I've done to myself, but you know, that's between me and me, and that's just kind of what it comes down to. It's just making sure someone, if they're walking away and they still don't agree with your decisions, knowing that they can kind of take some comfort in knowing that I wasn't, you know, like, I'm still human. I still have feelings. I'm a mother. I take care of my son, and I'm a great mom. And I work and I do all these things, and you know, it's just getting used to being judged is one thing, but what you do with that is a complete other thing. You can sit here and you can be angry at the people who don't agree with you, and that's totally fine, and that's your business. Or you can, you know, realize that a lot of people, most of the time, they're just curious. Even if they are being angry or hateful about it, sometimes they just want to know. And if you're getting so quick to getting defensive because of those people who are just being mean might take away the ability to be educative towards someone who's generally just curious and trying to learn.
No, I agree. I think you hit it right on the head that, you know, out of every remark is curiosity, you know? We are a curious species, and when we see something that does not make sense to us, we're like, why? Why would you?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Why would you do that? How did you come to that decision? And I think I would encourage our listeners and myself, you know, that when you hear a remark, whether it's negative or just doesn't seem like it needed to happen or any of that, is to listen for the question under the remark, because I bet there is one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm not gonna lie, like, I used to be those kinds of people who would watch young moms and I would go, why? I would never. Like, and then here I am, just not even like a full 3 years later, after having that opinion and becoming a young mom myself, you know, it was their decision. Like, it was my decision. And I used to tell myself all the time, like, I would never be a single mom. If I'm ever gonna have a child, it's gonna be with someone who I know will take care of the kid together, and we're gonna be this big, happy family, and we're gonna live in a nice white, like, farm style house with white picket fence, and we're gonna have all these things for our child. But, you know, reality hits, and you can't always get that. And that's why I'm, like, starting to become really acceptive of the fact that I am a single parent, is because, like, everything that I went through while I was pregnant and then while having my son, I told myself that I was never going to do, because I never wanted to, like, experience these things. And there is a lot of emotions, and there's a lot of pain and recovery, and just a lot of self-acceptance and acceptance around your situation that do fall into being a single parent. Not gonna lie, you know, I mean, a lot of the times it is a lot easier for some people to be a single parent, but for other people who really did have that specific dream set into place, it is really difficult to try to come to terms with. And so a lot of times when people ask, like, why are you a single parent? Like, I could never do it. Like, I give you props. And I look at them and I'm like, you know, like, I'm happy that you are in a situation where you can be happy, and then you have the help from another partner who can take care of your kid for you. That's amazing, because that's what I always wanted. And being able to see that other people are capable of doing that, that's one of the best things ever. But it got to the point for me personally where that wasn't my blueprint for my life and for how I was gonna raise my child. And that's okay. Sometimes you have to change your life to fit your blueprint, or you have to switch your blueprint to be able to tailor to your life and how things are going naturally. And that's exactly what I had to do. I had to change my blueprint. And that's not bad. That's just kind of what happens. And yeah. I'm happy. I love my son. Like, and I'm a dang good mom.
You are a fantastic mom. I think I tell you that all the time. Like, I think my mom's the best, and I think you're the second best. Like, you know, that's how much of a good mom I think you are. You know, you love your son, and you just have so much grace and kindness and understanding with him, and it's just really good to see.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm just really excited about all the things that I'm learning with myself and how I'm growing into a person, and then being able to pass that down to him. I couldn't have asked for a special gift, like, a more special gift ever, is being able to pass down all of my knowledge to a tiny little human that I created myself, and to watch him grow up and turn into the person that he wants to be, and to potentially pass that down to his child if he ever has one. And it's amazing. Like, humans work in very mysterious ways, and then it just really all comes down to, honestly, just, like, communicating with one another and just being kind and being gentle and being understanding. Just knowing that if you can't relate to what someone else is going through or what they're deciding to do with themselves, that doesn't mean that you can't still be there and be supportive. And if you can't physically be there, spiritually be there, and just understanding, rather than trying to relate and then getting frustrated and then shutting down. And that that really does fall into modification too. So that's exactly what happened to my mom. Like, my mom and I, we would fight all the time because I was dyeing my hair and getting all these piercings, and then I started getting tattoos, and she was just like, why would you do this? And then it would make us fight. And then that, she really did a lot of reflecting on the fact that, like, people do things for specific reasons. And so that made her start to, she got her nose pierced. She started stretching her ears. She got a tattoo because she watched me do it, and she realized, oh, I can actually do that too, but for my own reasons. It doesn't have to be the same as somebody else. So that itself is just really empowering, being able to inspire other people too. And that's another reason why I decided I wanted to work in this industry.
Exactly. Like, I don't think my mom realized until later, you know, that the reason why I dyed my hair and pierced my nose and all that is because I saw her with colorful hair. And she has her nose pierced, and she always talks about how cool she thinks tattoos are. You know, and I think that, yeah, that's a really great perspective. Yeah. We do what we see, and it's, you know, we just got to remember that we're all people at the end of the day. So I think that's a really good place to wrap up for our audience. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me today, and to open up just about your experience being a mom, your dreams, your information about stretching ears, your opinion on culture and all of that. Like, thank you. Thank you for being honest and, you know, just taking the time.
Yeah, of course. I'm really happy that I was able to do this. I was really excited when you reached out and you texted me like, hey, I want to do an interview with you. I was just like, absolutely. I love going on tangents like this, right? Just get to talk about what I'm passionate about and what inspires me to do what I do and what I have been doing. So just thank you for taking the time to do this with me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Hopefully the stores reopen, so when you are, who are listening, comes in, we can do it with you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, have a great rest of your day. Tell Judas hi for me.
I will. Thank you. You too.
Bye.
Bye.